closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't wait. Man, I'm anxious. I'm anxious. Man, I want it to happen. I want it to happen now. But until it does, we will continue to preach the word, to stand in his righteousness, to love others in the middle of their mess. Amen. It's not my job to fix you. It's my job to love you where you're at until the Holy Spirit fixes you. So all we can do is point to him and say, seek him first, not the world. Look for his return. Be anxious. Be hoping. Be looking. Be listening for the sound of the trumpet. Amen. And in that, tonight we're going to be starting a new book. Actually, it's an old book. It's not a new book. It's an old book. It's Galatians. And Paul was writing not to a church of Galatia. Galatia is actually a region in the in Asia Minor today. So if it would have been called like to our areas, he would be writing this epistle to the churches in the Rochester area or Livingston County area. And because he wants to talk to a lot of people there, there's... Debris was there, or I say it wrong, it's debris or something like that. One of the Antioch towns was there, not the Antioch on the eastern side of the Mediterranean, but over toward the northeast, there's another Antioch that was there. I got them all in my mind. It really doesn't matter. There are a bunch of churches there that he was writing to, and those were the believers that he had that he started or actually instituted these churches. And now he's in Colossians, and he's writing back to the churches of Galatia because he sees that there's some problems that are going on in the churches. He says, what we need to do is fix. I got to address some of this stuff. There's been some false teaching that were going on. There were some things that were being taught that didn't line up with the Word of God. And so he had to write this letter to those churches to get those things squared away. What happens when you start building off of the foundation? The building cannot stand, right? You get it on, it goes all out of kilter, and before long it falls over. Well, early in the church, early in the very onset of the body of believers gathering in buildings and places around the Middle East, around in that area right there, there started some false, undoctrinal teachings that was causing the church to become unnecessarily worried about things that really did not matter.
Right.
Right? So he said, I need to write this letter to fix those things up. And they were allowing some things inside of the church that should have been corrected. But there wasn't, the pastors were all wishy-washy. You know, they weren't standing for righteousness. And they were allowing false doctrines to come in. Instead of saying, stop here, thus says the Lord. And let's go back to the Word of God, the Scripture, to find out what the truth is. Right? And so that's why he's writing this letter to the churches of Galatia. And, of course, as Paul starts every letter, he addresses himself. I like that. You know, when we write a letter to somebody, we normally say, dear so-and-so. Right? Paul always starts, listen, this is who I am. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ, and the God and God the Father who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I love the way that he starts these epistles because they all kind of start this very same way. He says, listen, I'm Paul. God called me into this, not man. I did not go to a college and get a PhD to figure out what I needed to say to you. Don't get me wrong, Paul did have a PhD. He was trained underneath the guise and the hands of Gamaliel, one of the greatest teachers in all Judea at his time, of his time. And he was raised up in the house of Gamaliel when he was a small child. Yes. And he was brought up underneath the doctrines of the Hebrew peoples. He knew the scripture probably better than any of the teachers of his day. And then he met Jesus on the road, or Jesus met him on the road. And Jesus' whole idea about what things need to be. You know, he was zealous at his work. So anyhow, Paul did have the credentials. If you needed a piece of paper to say who you were, he had all the PhDs and FBIs and QRPs and all those letters and papers over top of his camel or his donkey, whatever he was riding at the time.
Horse.
You know, horse. Got a horse right here. His name is Paul Revere. There's a guy who says if the weather's clear, he can do anyhow, but sorry about that. Did you see? You got me going. Stop that. Let's pull me back to, pull on those reins. Slow me down. And so he says, I'm writing to all, there's a lot of brethren that were with me, but I'm writing to the churches in your area. And he starts out with grace to you and peace. See, without the grace of God, you can't have the peace of God. Grace is indeed God's unmerited favor. He's loving you in the middle of your mess. He knows that you're a sinner, and he called you out of that darkness, and his grace brought you into his light. Amen?
Amen.
What a wonderful
Amen.
Gift.
Amen.
Right? It's nothing that we can earn. It's something that is given to us. But without the grace of God, you can't contain or even hold on to the peace of God. And the peace of God is that deep comfort that goes way beyond understanding.
Wow.
Right? When you have the peace of God, it doesn't matter the storm that you're in.
Amen.
When you have the peace of God, it doesn't matter the virus that's surrounding you.
Right.
When you have the peace of God, it doesn't matter if your parents don't like you, your mama don't like you, kids don't like you, you're all of those, it don't matter because you have Jesus Christ in the peace.
Wow.
It doesn't matter if you don't have enough money for your bills this month. You got the peace of God. God said, I will take care of you.
Yes.
And guess what? He does. Now, it may not be the way that you expect, but he always takes care of you.
Amen.
May not be when you expect it, but he always takes care of you. And you can have confidence in that.
Right.
And so you can have the peace of God. So we know that for by grace you are saved. Amen.
Yes.
It's the grace of God that saved you. And that's through faith or by faith. Now see, that grace gives us birth to that peace. And Jesus said in John 14:27, he says, peace I leave with you. Oh, my peace I give unto you. Oh, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. But this peace, I'm gonna give you something that's separate, that's different. And when Paul would write his letters, the epistles to the churches, he always addressed them this way. He said, the grace of God be to you, and the peace of Jesus Christ be to you. And it's coming from Jehovah the Father. It's coming from the I Am and our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that's a double whammy there. Boy, you get it from both sides. Not that those two are separate, because they're not. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But at the same time, there was God on the throne, there was Jesus on the land, and the Holy Spirit was coming and going until Jesus went and sat down on the right hand of the Father, and he sent the Comforter to indwell the human beings. All right? And at that point, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and you can't get let loose until the day of redemption, which we'll get into that in another book. But anyhow, looking into all those things. And verse 4, Paul says to the church, who gave himself? Who gave himself? Say his name like you know him.
Jesus.
Amen. Jesus. He gave himself for whose sins? My sin. It was my sin. If it had only been for this rotten worm that you see before you, Jesus would have died for me. He died for the sin of the world. Everything that Adam screwed up in the very beginning and all the things that came after that, Jesus said, I'll take it on me that you can go free. I'll take the burden, I'll take the weight, I'll take the shame. I will bear the cross for your rotten souls because I love you.
Right.
Amen? He didn't wait for you to get better to die for you. He died for you so you could know him and then get better.
That's right.
Now what happens if you don't get better after you know him? Just something to think about. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Praise God! I have a deliverer in Jesus Christ. From what? The present evil world. Do you think our world is more evil than their world?
No.
Nope, it's the same evilness that was back then that is today.
Amen.
It doesn't change. It may be dressed in a different suit, but it's pretty much the same thing.
Right.
You know? It may look a little different, like on your finger exercise on your phones and stuff like that. It might be in your little video games. It might be in your mass media. It might be in your television set. It's evil. It might be on the billboard. You're running down the road. You know, y'all remember those old copper tone things? When you think about it, that was perverted.
Yeah.
It looked cute because there's a little doggy pulling down a little girl's pants.
Yeah,
no, that's perversion. Yeah. And that was the seed to the pornography that we're seeing all over the internet and all over commercials.
Mm-hmm.
Victoria ain't got no secrets no more. Right? She done showed them all. There's nothing to be hid. I mean, it's just perversion on every side. And so that's the present evil of this world. All right? According to the will of God and our Father. See, he delivered us not according to our will, but according to the will of the Father. To whom be glory. Amen? Glory to God. Who delivered us?
Jesus.
All right? Why did he deliver us? For the glory of
God.
The God. Amen. For the glory of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. What's the Bible say?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That means I agree with it, right? That, so when a pastor's preaching or you hear a good teaching, there's nothing wrong with saying amen. That's kind of like when you see your dog and you say, get him. You know, and it's just go get it. Praise God. You're doing the right thing. Go fetch that ball. And you throw it out there and the dog just takes off. You say amen to a lot to a pastor, that's what he's going to do. He's going to just take off with it and go. So don't be afraid to say amen. That just means you agree with it.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. Praise God. And now, Paul immediately, after he addresses himself to the church and the purpose that he is addressing them to the church, and through whose authority he's addressing to the church, he comes to verse 6. Now, in the original text, there are no verses. They're not broken down by verses. This would have been just a letter that you would read all in one setting. Could you imagine that? Wow. Reading this whole right out in one setting, right? Talk about somebody to preach well into the night. This would do it for you. So in verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. Now, it had been less than just a few years that Paul had been there in the area of Galatia. All right, just a few years. And he set the church up on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. He was there. He taught them the truth. He taught them the love. He taught them the grace and the goodness of God. He taught the churches there that Jesus Christ was God. And you were saved by his grace through faith. Amen. That you believe it and God gave you the grace. He gave you the faith. And you hold on to those things. That's what sets you apart. We went over in the men's group what salvation, what saving salvation really is, what it means. And salvation is very much like a junkyard, right? It's a salvage yard. God finds you. In fact, I've used this before. You're an old, dirty, nasty can sitting on the side of the street full of slugs and half-drunk beer, right? You're nasty. There's nothing good about you. You stink. Probably a couple cigarette butts been put out in you. Ain't nothing good about you. But Jesus comes along and he sees that that's worth something to me. I'm going to pick it up out of the ditch. I'm going to shake the nastiness out of it. I'm going to bring it to my house. I'm going to rinse it with the water. And I'm going to pour all that goop out of it. All right, I'm going to make it new. Someday I'm going to gather a bunch of them and I'm going to go redeem them. I'm salvaging them. I'm saving them. I'm bringing them from what they were to what they will become. Amen? There's value in you because you're made in the likeness and the image of God. And those nasty things I was talking about were the ways of the world that's gotten into the church. But God loves you, and he wants to clean you. Now, at this time, somebody had been coming in to the churches in Galatia and started spreading a different gospel, which was not a gospel at all. It was actually a doctor of demons. All right, it was the Judaizers is what they were called. And so what they were taking is the grace of Jesus Christ, the grace of God, and mixing the law into it. All right, so what they'd be saying is, all right, George, you accepted the Lord a couple weeks ago. Well, praise God for you. Do you still eat the meat that's sacrificed over there to the idols? And George said, well, sure, I had a pork chop yesterday. And he said, well, you can't do that because that's against Moses' law. Right? So you've got to obey the law to have the grace. That's what the Judaizers were saying. And the Galatians were falling for it. They were going to say, man, that sounds right. You know, maybe I do need to keep those laws. Maybe I do need to have my son circumcised on the eighth day. Maybe I do need to try to keep the 680 some odd statutes that go with the law. Maybe I've got to wash my hands the way that they tell me to, right, in the law. Maybe I still got to bring my sacrifice to the altar in Jerusalem to get forgiveness. Maybe I still got to bring my pet lamb or my ox or my blood offering. Because that's what the Judaizers were trying to do. They were bringing the law and mixing it with grace. And so you can't take a new piece of patch and sew it to an old garment. You can't take new wine and put it into old wineskins.
Amen.
Because if you do, it's going to burst them. It's going to make the rip worse. Because you can't take the new and put it on the old and make it to work. When you have something new, it needs to be new all the way through, right? And Jesus said, I come to make you new. I've come to set you free. I've come to give you liberty in me through my blood, through my sacrifice. But the Judaizers, they had come in and said, listen, you might be free, you might have the liberty, but if you don't keep the law, you can't be saved. Be careful when somebody teaches that.
That's right.
And Paul says it's another, they perverted the gospel. Pervert, all right? It means the same thing then as it means today. They distorted it. They took it out of function. They took it out of its natural form and turned it into something ungodly. And he said that they would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, in verse 8, but though we, Paul saying, if I came back and told you something different, or an angel came down from heaven and preached any other gospel to you, to you than which, excuse me as I get choked on my spittle there, preach any other gospel to you that which we have preached to you, let him be anathema. Let him be accursed, anathema. He says, damn that person. Cast him out. He is to be. He's accursed. He's anathema. He's
condemned.
Condemned. That's a good condemned. Set that person apart.
That's right.
Right. They're accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel to you, then. Ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of Christ. Okay. If you got a pastor trying to just puff you up, say things to make you hang out longer, use big, pretty, fluffy words to make you feel comfortable, change the gospel of Jesus Christ because it suits your sin, Bible says he needs to be accursed. I try really, really hard to preach just as square as the Bible is. A lot of folks don't like it. A lot of folks leave. It's okay. I'm not here to keep you. Right? I'm not here to be your friend. I really ain't. And I'll be friendly to you. But I really don't care if you disagree with me. If I'm preaching the Word of God and you don't like it, you don't have a problem with me. You got a problem with the Word.
That's right.
You got a problem with the Word. You got a problem with God. You got a problem with God, you got a problem.
Yeah,
amen.
Big one.
You got a problem, right? You can be mad at me and say nasty things about me all you want to. Doesn't bother me. I'm just a sheepdog. Go ahead and kick me around a little. It ain't bothering me. I'm going to nip at your heels till you get going right or you leave, one or the other. It does not matter to me. All right? Paul's saying that. It doesn't matter. I am not here to persuade men. Am I here to impress men or am I here to impress God? Right? We better be impressed with God. A workman need not be ashamed. All right? You study to show yourself approved to who?
Him.
To God. All right? You study to show yourself approved to God. I don't study to make y'all impressed at the stuff I know. Praise God. Because if you knew what I knew, you would not be impressed. I am. Amen. Right? Yes. You said, amen, brother. Yeah. That's an amen you didn't have to say.
What you said before.
I know. That's all right. I'm just, this is Wednesday night. I'm a little looser than what I am on Sunday. And, but listen, we need to be a servant of Jesus Christ. We need to preach the Bible, teach the Bible, not teach the doctrines of men. Not teach the, what do you call it, unicorns and rainbows, George. That's what he says.
Right.
You know, we're not here, I'm not here to do anything outside of the Word of God.
Thank you.
All right, so God says that this is what we need. And there are other gospels out there. There are still gospels out there that say if you ain't baptized, you can't be saved.
Right.
All right? There's gospels out there that say if you don't speak in tongues, you can't be saved.
Right.
There's gospels out there that say if you don't confess to a priest, you can't be saved.
Right.
There's gospels out there that say if you don't come on Sunday and Wednesday, you can't be saved.
Right.
Anathema. All right? Stop right. that. You put that up against the thief who died on the cross. How many of those things did he do? He said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's all he said.
Amen.
And he believed that Jesus Christ had a kingdom and that kingdom was made for him. Mm-hmm. And if he would trust in Jesus Christ, he could be brought to that kingdom. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, today, my son, today you're going to be with me in paradise.
Amen.
Oh, amen. Amen. And so, and verse 11 says, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached is not after man. For I neither received it of men, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm so glad the gospel that we preach here doesn't come from Liberty University. Amen?
Amen.
It doesn't come from, what's that one down the road here? The lake. We had a couple kids go there.
Oh, yeah.
Word of Life.
Word of Life, yeah.
Lilo Liar, one of any
of those.
Yeah.
I'm glad that, I'm so glad that God called me out from installing floors as just a common, regular person. You know, I don't have a lot of education. I don't play like I do. I did go to an online Bible course that the church that I was going to went through, and they, when I got through that after 3 years, they said, do you want the piece of paper that proves it? I said, sure. All right. But they said, well, you got to get one of them good enough degrees, a GED, good enough degree. And so I went to school and I got my GED so I could get my GED piece of paper and my college piece of paper at the same time. I still don't know where either one of those pieces of paper are. You know, it doesn't matter to me. I try really hard to preach as square as the Bible is. I tell that to people. They say the Bible's not square. I said, neither am I. I said, as square as the Bible is. Not that the Bible was square. But anyhow, we are called by God, all right? I certify, I guarantee you, brethren, that the gospel which is preached of me is not after men. Nobody, Professor so-and-so, did not teach me this. It came from reading my Bible from cover to cover, all right? How many times should you read your Bible? Every day, of course, but shouldn't you have a regimented reading schedule where you go from Genesis to Revelation at least once a year?
Mm-hmm.
At least once a year. Because there's nuggets all through there. I mean, you're reading through a gold mine. I mean, and you'll come across some 1 year that you didn't see the year before, and that next year, all of a sudden, you have matured, you've grown, and this thing just explodes on your head. And you say, wow, where's that been? Well, they didn't rewrite the Bible, all right? It's the same Bible. You just got anointed by the Holy Spirit enough to read it, to understand it. And he illuminated your understanding at that point in time. And so that's where you get your certification from. You need to be certified by the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Not by the school you paid the most. You know?
Yeah.
How do you like that? I mean, rhyme. Amen. I can rap.
Wiki, wiki, wiki.
So,
you don't need a GED.
You rapper.
G-O-D.
Yeah, you got the G-O-D. You don't need
I'm a cellophane rapper. I go around suckers all the time. So, for I neither received it of a man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation, by the unveiling, this word also, you know, the revelation of Jesus Christ, it is the opening, the unveiling, the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. That's the Greek words that it means, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversion in times past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Now, when you look at what Paul did, remember before he had his conversion on the road to Damascus, what was he going to Damascus to do? To gather Christians.
Yeah.
He was going to gather Christians, and he had papers from the church to arrest Christians.
Mm-hmm.
He had had Christians put to death. He had had Christians that were stoned to death.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that Paul also talks about a thorn that was in his flesh. A lot of people say that it was eyes. Now, he may have had poor eye vision. Well, he said he had eye problems. But I don't know if you've ever really hurt somebody before and then you got saved. that thorn never leaves your flesh. And you see those faces sometimes in the middle of your night.
Amen to that.
Right? And, I mean, it's something else to think about, because I don't think Paul was a man that would complain about his eyesight too much. You know, he had a lot of other pains, and I mean, Jesus, shipwrecked, stone beat, you know, with sticks and rods and every other thing. I mean, he had a lot of stuff he could complain about, but he never complained about those things. But something that would probably bother him was after coming to the truth of Jesus Christ and then looking back at the lives that he had snuffed out.
Mm-hmm. He took out Stephen.
He was there, he held the host for Stephen.
Imagine the words. He persecuted
the church and made and wasted it. He wasted. He did his best and profited the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. All right, he was a Jew to the core. And he loved the Hebrew religion, and what he was doing to the church, he really thought was the right thing. He thought that they were tearing apart the Jehovah, the great I Am, and the laws of Moses. He thought that what Jesus Christ was doing was heretical. It was a heresy, and he was doing what he could to stop the heresy until he met Jesus on that road. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Oh, who are you, Lord? He said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Now, talk about a change of life. That changed his whole perspective about everything. When he met Jesus on the road, his life changed. And it changed all of a sudden. He went on into Damascus. He sat there on the well on the street called Straight. All right, fasted for 3 days and three nights, no water, no food. Prayed, wondering, what have I done? Man, think about that. Then Ananias, God spoke to him and said, go find that man Saul, lay hands on him, pray for him. He is a chosen vessel of mine. Wow. Think about that. Ananias, scared to death. You know, he says, man, God, I know this man came with letters to arrest us. Are you sure you want me to go talk to him? Yep. Get up, Annie, and go do it. Don't deny us, Ananias. Go to it. Right? So Ananias got up, prayed for him, laid hands on him, and something like scales fell off of Paul's eyes. Now, that's where people get the idea that it was an eye problem. I don't know. I can't say because
it does tell you, but I can't remember where.
No, it doesn't. They don't tell you. He said, hey, yeah, I have a thorn in my flesh, and I prayed three times to get rid of it. And each time Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for thee. All right, that's all it says, that he has a thorn in his flesh. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say anything else.
Where it came from, I think it says.
The devil. Yeah, the devil has buffeted me.
There you go.
All right. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, did the devil control his eyesight?
No. I don't think that.
Thank you. No. You know, I think when the devil accuses me, comes up in my mind, is something that I have done in the past that Jesus forgave me for, but I can't quite get over it.
Yeah.
Right.
You know? And that's the thing that bothers me. I mean, before I knew Christ, when I was I was nasty, people, and I hurt folks. I don't forget that. But God, amen?
Amen.
You know, but God.
God, amen.
And so he said he was zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me by my mother's womb and called me by his grace, amen? And he got born, and then he got born again, all right? God separated him from his mama's womb, got him into the world, had him trained up of the world, but then he set him free from the world by his grace.
Amen.
But it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me. Now, I like that. He revealed Jesus Christ where at?
In him.
In him. Not just to him, So he didn't know just about Jesus Christ. See, a lot of Christians today know about Jesus, but they really don't know Jesus. That word that Jesus used in John 17:3 in the high priestly prayer, this is eternal life, that you know the Father and the Son whom he has sent. That word know there is the same word know here. In the Greek, it's gnosko. All right? It's a deep personal relationship. It's an unveiling of the truth of a person. It's deeper than knowing your own kids. I don't know if y'all got kids. They got secrets from you don't know about. Amen. Yeah, y'all got spouses. They got secrets that y'all don't know about. That's the way it is. But Jesus said, I want to be in you in such a way that you can gnosko me. You can have a deep personal understanding of who I am. You'll never get all of who I am because you have a finite mind for an infinite God. A real small brain for a great big God.
Amen.
You can't suck it all up. There's no way you can fit it in your head.
Beautiful.
So I'll let you know just enough.
Yes.
Just enough to know me.
Yes.
And so God called him to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him, Jesus, among the heathen. Amen. Now, if Paul was called to preach among the heathen, we can preach among the heathen too. Y'all know any heathens?
Yeah.
Amen. I live in a house full. I heard you. Right? We all got heathens. I got heathens I'm kin to. As much as I love my sons, they're heathens. You know, they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. As much as I love a lot of people, right? But they do not understand God. So my job is to what? Throw stones at them, right? Kick them when they're down. Tell them they're going to go to hell. Is that my job? No. My job is to love them right there, to preach, to teach the gospel, the good news to them in such a way that they can understand it.
Yes.
Never backing away from the truth, standing on the corner of Jesus Christ, right? That cornerstone, never backing away from the truth, but giving the truth with love.
Amen.
Amen. So you tell them, it's like a doctor, sit you down in the chair and say, I hate to tell you this, but you got cancer. I hate to tell you this, but you're not sick at all. You know, you come to the doctor 6 times a week, but you don't have nothing wrong with you. You know, that's a hard thing if you're a hypochondriac, right? You always think you're sick and you're not sick at all. A good doctor, instead of just giving you a prescription to a pill, right? He'll say, you're not sick. Grow up. Get over it. Right? Stop. You're bothering me. Go away. Boy, you bother me. Right? And so a good doctor will tell you that. A good pastor will tell you that. Good pastor will also tell you that if you're doing something outside of the confines of the Word of God, that you're sinning, right? You're sinning, that you're doing something that God does not agree with. And this might cost you in the long run, right?
Amen.
And so he reveals that I preach him, Jesus, among the heathen. Immediately, I conferred with, not with flesh and blood, neither when I up to Jerusalem, to them which were apostles before me. But I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. All right, look at that. So he started preaching when Paul got converted. What did he do? First thing, he went to the synagogue of the Jews. And he proclaimed Jesus Christ from the Old Testament all the way up to where he was. He pointed out where Jesus was the living rock that the water came from. He pointed out that Jesus was the manna that came from heaven. He pointed out that Jesus was walking. He was the shadow over them in the daytime. And he was the cloud in the daytime. And he was the burning lamp at night. He said that was Jesus with you the whole way through the wilderness. He never left you. He never forsake you. Now, when you turned away from him, he sent serpents in there to bite you and kill a few of you. You know, when you rebelled against him, he allowed the earth to open up and swallow up a few thousand of you at a time. When we rebelled against God, God allowed something called the virus, Cornelia 19, what's it called? Cornova?
COVID.
Yeah, Corona. I got to remember that, right? And a lot of folks say that God didn't allow this to happen. I believe that God did allow this to happen.
Amen.
All right? That this is something to wake the church up. All right? God hasn't changed. When the Hebrews rebelled against God in the wilderness, what did God do? He killed a bunch of them. Let me get your attention.
Amen.
Wake up, folks, or you're all going to die. Mm-hmm. You know? And so he did that over and over and over again. And so nothing has changed. But he says, listen, he didn't immediately confer with flesh and blood. So Paul didn't say, hey, guys, guess what happened to me? Let me tell you something really cool. You know? No, what he did, he took some time off. He didn't go to Jerusalem. He didn't talk to none of the other apostles. He went to Arabia. Paul the Arabian. He went to the desert. And he hung out there for 3 years. I imagine he got scrolls. He found the Word of God. And he sat down with God in the desert place for 3 years and studied His Word. He opened it up and he read it. He says, man, I could have had a V8. You know, I could have had it all, right? What's that girl that sings that song? You could have had it all. What is that girl? Anyhow, nobody knows it. Praise God.
We don't watch that stuff.
I know. You pastor, and you're a heathen, ain't you? You watch that nasty stuff. Does anybody know? Who was that? Had it all. Oh. Anyhow, somebody will email me and let me know. And so, but anyhow, he when he got alone with the Lord, and it took 3 years. When was the last time you sat down alone with the Lord? Maybe it's been 3 years. All right? Amen. You know, I mean, there's a lot of Christians that have never read their Bible from cover to cover, right? We started doing this a few years ago, encouraging people to read the Bible from cover to cover. You'll be surprised how many people have gone to church their whole life and never read the full Bible. Yeah, I never read, you know, they'll say, I never read that. I never saw that. Did you ever open it up? No, but it stayed right on my bedside all these years, you know? But I never opened it up. And you cannot get this in you through osmosis. No, you've got to open it up. You can't get fat by looking at your food. You've got to eat it. You can't get holier, more set apart, more righteous, closer to Jesus unless you open this thing up and put it in you, right? You gotta put it on. And so he did for 3 years in the backside of Arabia. And then after that, he came to Damascus. And then after 3 years, he went back up to Jerusalem to see Peter. And he abode with him for 15 days. Now, imagine that. Paul, the murderer of the church, speaking with Peter, the one who had the keys to the Gentiles, you know, and for 15 days, they talked Bible. What a great Bible study. What a great time that must have been, you know? Paul confessing, hey, Peter, I sinned. Man, what I need to know is tell me the rest of the story of Jesus. Tell me the story of Jesus. Write on my heart every word. Right? Tell me the story of Jesus, more precious than ever was heard. Right? And so he sat down with Peter, and Peter explained to him all those things that Jesus did. All the miracles, all I could imagine. Sitting there for 15 days with Peter, having his ear, and he's talking to you. That uneducated man. Oh, but he had been with Jesus. And that's what the Pharisees said to him when Peter and John were going into the temple, and they healed the crippled man on the outside, and then the religious people got him and said, well, we can tell that you're uneducated men. Oh, but you've been with Jesus. Right? I'd love to have that on my tombstone someday. That was one educated man, but he's had time with Jesus, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
You know? And so, but that's what he did. He talked with Paul, and he abode for 15 days. And but other of the apostles, I saw none saved except for James, the Lord's brother. Now, this is James, the physical brother of Jesus, all right? This is where Joseph and Mary had sexual relations, and another child was born. We know of several brothers and innumerable sisters, because there's not a number on them, sisters that they had. So if you're under that understanding that Mary was a perpetual virgin, no, she wasn't. She was a good wife, right? And they knew each other in the biblical sense. You know, they made babies together, and you don't do that by accident. And so anyhow, now, the brother of the Lord, Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before the Lord I lie not. Afterwards I came to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that which was that he which persecuted us in the times past now preaches the faith which which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. So there was some time, and I think it was in this time, that Saul changed his name from Saul to Paul. All right, because they only knew, they didn't know what Saul looked like, right? They didn't know, they didn't have a photograph or a newspaper that they said, ooh, here's Saul, now here's Paul, compare the photographs. Is it real or Memorex, right? Mm-hmm. And they didn't have those things back then. So you could go and you could actually change your name, and if nobody knew you, they wouldn't know you. But Saul changed his name from Saul to Paul somewhere in this time. And one thing we do know is that he went to the places that they didn't know him by face, because it says so in verse 22, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. Those places that were born again, had trusted the Lord with the fullness of grace. Then, 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and I took Titus with me also, and went up by revelation, and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Now, look at that very carefully, what he says there. He went up by revelation. The Lord told me to. All right? I went up there. God said, you need to go here and speak to these people. All right? Communicated the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation. Okay, so he went to the synagogues, and he went to the chief of the synagogues, people of reputation. He went and talked to the mayor of the town. He went and talked to the head of the congregation. Not that he didn't care about the people of lesser reputation, but he went first to the top. All right, if I'm going to talk to somebody that's in charge of something, I don't want to talk to the vice president. I want to talk to the president. I don't want to talk to the second in charge. I want to talk to the man who runs the synagogue here. Who is he? Let me talk to him. And Paul went right there before he started preaching among all of the people. All right, and he met them where they were at. And he was, God gave him this great gift because he knew the scriptures. He knew the Pentateuch. He knew the writings of Moses extremely well. Mm-hmm. And he could sit and he could talk with all of the leaders of the synagogues and explain Jesus Christ to them in a way that they could understand before he went to the congregations. And I guess it was trying not to make ripples, trying not to make divisions in the body or tear apart the synagogues. He just wanted to get his people saved. Do you know that Paul really wanted the Hebrews to be saved? He wanted them to be illuminated, that they could see Jesus Christ as their Messiah? You know, Christ means Messiah, Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus, the Savior. And he wanted the Hebrew people to know that the Savior, Christ, the Messiah, had come. You know, and so he took the scripture. And it's funny, when you read in the New Testament, when anybody says scripture, guess what they're talking about? The Old Testament. The New Testament hadn't been written. At that time, all they had were the prophets, right? All they had was the Pentateuch. All they had was the writings of Moses. And in that, Jesus Christ, there's a scarlet thread that runs all the way from in the beginning God created, all the way through to Malachi, the only Italian prophet. No, I'm sorry.
That's good.
It's sad. It's terrible. I shouldn't say those things. But anyhow, it's 8 o'clock, folks. And we got through chapter 1, and we'll pick up in chapter 2 next week. And if y'all want to come and join us, Zumba is the Bible bus. Amen? And by the grace of God, we'll get through this before Jesus comes back. And if not, anything that I teach incorrectly, Jesus can fix. Amen? So praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you so much for your goodness and grace. And I thank you for, the body of Christ, Father. I thank you for the ecclesia, the people that are called your church.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that as we have opened up your word today, that we have seen maybe where we have believed some false teaching, or maybe where we have turned, we never knew. Maybe that's it, Father. We never knew the God of the Bible because we never read it. Lord, and I pray that because of this teaching starting now, that we would go back and study all of the writings, all of the love, all of the history of you in this book, Father, that you gave, that we could know you, that we could gnosko you in a deeper, more intimate way. Lord, and as we know you in studying the real you, we won't be so easily deceived by folks who come in to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Lord, we thank you. We praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Praise God. Y'all go home.
Get out of here.
Teaching's over. We'll start next week.
Oh, man.